In your Bibles, I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians. We're going to not stay contextual. Pastor Steve Kurtz is doing a profound job with expository teaching. Somebody say amen. Amen. You're blessed when you have good leadership. Israel was cursed as long as Manasseh was king. It's bad when you're under crazy leadership. Somebody's smiling. Amen. You could have been born in Poland, right? During the reign of Hitler. I was watching Schindler's List. I cried, had to turn it off. I said, what a terrible time. And so we thank God for leadership. Amen. People leave the church and do a lot of crazy things, and we're going to deal with that, because when the stuff hit the fan, you're going to have to know Jesus. Is that all right? Let's look at 1 Corinthians, the third chapter. I'm going to read some scriptures there. I'm going to try not to be before you long, but we're going to see what God has put in my heart. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envy and strife, divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one say, I am of Paul, another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Father, I ask you that you bless the word. Let us see ourselves. Let it cut and separate anything that may hinder us going to the next level. I thank you and I praise you. For this house, in Jesus' name, and all the people said. Amen. Our subject today is the other man. The other man. There's a story I would like to tell you. It's a fictitious story. Someone had shared with me years ago, but yet it was powerful. There was a man, let's just give him his name, Brother Deegan. And Brother Deegan loved the church. Faithful. The enemy, the devil, Satan, his demons threw everything at Brother Deegan for him to leave Jesus through money. Brother Deegan wouldn't move. Women, cars, homes, trying to tempt him to move out of his assignment. Nothing would move him. The demons brought this information back to Satan and said, we have thrown everything at him. Everything. Everything in the realm of the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, and the lust of the eyes. The story goes on to say that Satan thought about it and said to the demons, make his brother a bishop. That's interesting, isn't it, Brother Frank? When they made Brother Deegan's brother a bishop, Brother Deegan backslid. Because Brother Deegan was tied to the church and not Jesus. He left God. It would appear that he had everything under control, but envy killed him on the spot. It's not what I do that makes me who I am. The service. Oftentimes I was looking at my resume. That's not what makes me who I am. Some people love to do things for people, but they don't love people. They can do everything for people on the outside. Things that other people see them doing. But really, they don't love people. It's who I am that make me do what I do. I'm a son of God. I live from the inside out and not from the outside in. When we look at the epistles, it deals with three men in this room. There's three people sitting in this room. And one of the persons have two people living inside of them. A natural man, a spiritual man, and a carnal man. Three. And this message is designed for us to constantly take an inventory of our lives. Because Donald Duck can do good on a good day. But when the stuff gets thick, we're going to see who's who. When I was a child, I don't want to tell my age. They used to have a show called Tell the Truth. Uh-oh, somebody in here laughing. Fascinating show. It would be three gentlemen on a stage, and we're sitting, watching. And one would say, I'm Mr. Johnson. I'm Mr. Johnson, and I'm Mr. Johnson. Somebody's lying. You remember that? And the whole stratum of the show was to show who's who. Because we're in a day that everybody's a Christian. Everybody is a Christian. I'm so glad when I came through that it was either you were a Christian or you weren't. I was in a church that if they found out you were fornicating and you were, could I just talk for a minute? If they found out you were sleeping around and you were directing the choir, they will sit you down for 3 years with counseling in the word. Because they were under the persuasion that viruses spread. Contagious, airborne bacteria. When we look at the natural man in 2 Corinthians, the 14th chapter, I'm going to turn there and read it. Y'all praying for me? It says, but the natural man received not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolish unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. We all were there. We were plugged into a simulated reality called the cosmos. We see it clearly in 1 John 2 and 15. He tells us to love not the world or the age. Now, when I was coming up, there was one television in the house. So, to some degree, I was forced to read, even though I hated it. Today, that's not the issue. Some of us have a plasma in every room. Xbox. What's interesting about the Xbox is that it almost have you believing a reality that's not real. In every natural man, and this is, we have to get this, because every natural man to some degree believes a reality that's not real. It's not real in the sense that buying a car, I remember when me and my wife got the Honda, it was an Accord. I was young and it felt good, Sarah. Beautiful. I would shine it, wash it every day, sometimes twice a day. Look back at it, say, man, look at this car. Felt good. Somebody said it felt good. Information, looking at the car, that I elevated myself to a place to purchase it, I thought in my own strength, kind of puffed me up a little bit. I would clean that car, even when it didn't need cleaning. Walk back, and this is how you tell you tied to it. When you walk and you look back. Turn the blinds, 12 o'clock at night. Make sure it's still shining. You park in Giant, what, far away. Because you don't want no dent. I remember we got a little dent one time. I watched. We saw the man do it. What are you doing? I hope you had insurance. It's interesting that there is no experience that has this, the same intensity of emotion that I have right now that I possessed a year ago, other than Jesus Christ. Did you understand what I just said? Take a moment and think about that. There's nothing in my life that I have right now that has the same passion that it did 2 or 30 years ago. I love my wife, and I know she loves me, but someday she say, bang, zoom, to the moon, Ralph. Because it's designed to keep us chasing something that's not real. There's no real joy in purchasing a vehicle or a home. I remember when I got my home and, oh, God, I got my first house. All the air went out of the balloon when that water heater broke. And I didn't know what to do. Water, oh, shooting in my face. I had my mother down. Mom, what to do? She says, turn off the water. Are you with me? The natural man. A story. Me and my wife, we work with children, and we have several God children. And this particular child was at our house on Christmas. He's a little guy, about 1-2 years old. Had all these gifts. He's going through the gifts, unwrapping them, going to the next one. Now, don't you parents try this. Unwrapping them, going through them. We like, what the? I got an idea. We took those gifts that he went through and wrapped them up and gave them to him the next Christmas. And you know what? He didn't know the difference. Now, to some degree, that's comical, but it's the same old thing in your life wrapped new. That's one of the things that we have to deal with, because there's some things, as God gives me grace, I will never do again. I have problems, believe me. But there's some things that the enemy just wraps it differently. I remember I like, you know, cars. And I remember I saw a nice car. I'm like, oh, what was that? Then I saw it again. I'm like, hmm. And then the next time I saw it, I didn't even look. That's the world. The thing that drives those that are living in the natural realm, the natural man. Then we have the spiritual man. This is the man, because he lives from the outside, from the inside out. Christ is on the throne of his heart. His mind is renewed, where the natural man, his mind is not renewed. He's plugged into a system called the world that he receives information that's not true through his senses. That's why guys, y'all didn't know I was going to go here, right? That's why guys or men often, not all, but oftentimes outside of Jesus Christ move from relationship to relationship. Because they don't think with their mind. They think with something else. If I was in a closed session, I'd deal with it. No commitment. You know, my wife, you know, well, how was your day? She's very detailed. She tells me about the increment, the special parts of her day. And after she finished her beautiful dialogue, she says, how was your day? I say, okay. She wants more. All right? Because women are relationship driven. Right? Men, the first thing, about 3 to 5 minutes into the conversation, they want to know about in some cases they want to know about your job. Where do you work? That sort of thing. Because in our culture, how your job often validates who you are in our culture. But you can work and be a CEO at IBM and rape your daughter at night. Amen. So God is not moved by where you work. He's moved by character. Are you with me? Spiritual man has a spiritual mind. And the spiritual mind is the key to his development. In Romans, let's go to Romans for a moment. Romans, the 12th chapter, verse 1. I will quote it, but I'll read it. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. After all he's done, that's the least you can do, is live a surrendered life. And be what? Not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Every child, every believer that comes into the area of Christendom must have their mind renewed. I had said previously in the other message, when you receive Jesus, Lord, you're baptized in the Spirit, nothing happens to your mind. And this is the problem in Corinthians. You can't live on a Sunday service. Could I say that again? You cannot. And a lot of our problem is because we're too full of word that have not been activated. You are a what? New creature now. I'm a new creature in Christ. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17, correct? A lot of our problems are self-absorbed, and they will continue to be self-absorbing in our mind, believing a reality that's not real, because no one, the Bible says, he that have suffered in the flesh have ceased from sin. So when I'm suffering and when I'm going through in my body, that is the time to release praise. That is the time to come to corporate prayer. That is the time to give of myself, because now my DNA is not in the old man. It's in the new man. In the new man, if I will continue in 2 Corinthians 5:17, 18, and 19, to wit that God, this is what? The ministry. Tell the person beside you, you have a ministry. Oh, I don't believe you. Come on, say, I have a ministry. I serve. That's what ministry means. Amen. Sometimes, I wash my wife's feet. I'm going to leave that alone, because that can lead somewhere that you won't understand. Amen. But I am her priest and prophet in the home. And as you serve, the spiritual man, the mind of the Spirit will begin to take shape in your life. It will never take shape if I am on the throne and it's always about how I feel. My feelings are tied to the world, because sometimes I feel like a nut and sometimes I don't. I can't go by feeling, sensual behavior. And as I give of myself, as I establish commitment, I don't come to pray a corporate prayer to pray for my situation. I can pray for my situation at home. But I come to corporate prayer because I need you. Somebody say, I need you. I need you to pray for me. And you need me. Say, I need you. I need you too. Because the world in your situation is not going to change. hate to be the one to bring you the mail, Graham, but it's not going anywhere. Soon as you think you threw one, Brother Melvin, there's another situation. I'm like, what? I just came out of that. You know, oh, you have a little money on the side. Oh, honey, honey, I think I'm going to Ross. You know what? I think I still have a little bit of that gift card from Kohl's. I won't go to Ross. I go to Kohl's. On your way to Kohl's, you hear this noise. You're like, what? It's your brakes going out, dear. And the money, all of a sudden, you're like, what? Because your joy, for the natural man, his joy and his strength is in natural things. Peace is not natural. Joy for the kingdom of God is righteousness. What? Peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. You cannot go to Walmart and say, do y'all have any patience on sale today? Spiritual love, spiritual meekness, goodness, long suffering. And oftentimes, when we're caught up into the matrix of our flesh, and I'm almost finished, we oftentimes look for something in something that can't deliver. But you don't believe that. There's no joy in a car. You know, somebody, oh, I love that. You see that Mercedes 500 series? Yeah. Do you know the brakes cost $2,000? Did you know that, buddy? What? It's amazing. You look at it, and me and my wife, you know, we're not looking at no Mercedes. Let me just stop that. Let me just nail that right now. But I've learned to do the research, right? To see if the car, because the car will never deliver what Jesus can deliver. I'm sitting at the light, commuting back and forth from New York, and I had the little Sentra with a hole in the floor. I can look in the floor and see the ground. Somebody say ministry. And the man pulled beside me in the beautiful truck, and the enemy tried to make me feel like I was cheated. Look at him. It's shining. And look at your God, what he has given you. I'm looking. The mind. Somebody say the mind. All information first has to come to your mind, and the spiritual man makes a judgment. It's called discretion, discernment. I'm going out with this boy, or I'm going out with this girl. Where is this relationship going? You have to think that thing through, buddy. If I go, I'm going shop. Me and my wife were shopping one time, and she loves Bloomingdale's. And look at her smiling. I'm going to leave that alone. And I saw the store said Nordstrom. I'm like, Nordstrom? I went in there, and, you know, I'm looking around. And we always start at the clearance rack. I said, let's go to the clearance rack. They had dresses on there, $12,000. I said, I'm in the wrong store. Start backpedaling out of that place. 12,000. I'm like, you know what I could do with, you know how I can bless ministry with, and they had, and people were just going, I'm like, maybe I can make them a dress and sell it. Hey, I'll sell it for 5,000. You save 7. My wife went like that. And so, I want to be a spiritual man. I want to set my affections, my desires, my mind, according to Galatians 3, 1 and 10, on things above. I want to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. My flesh is selfish, it's self-driven. It always wants what it wants when it wants it. Are you with me? I want to walk in love. Situation. Could I give you a situation? I used to work with troubled children. And this particular day, it was bad. Somebody say bad. Kids would fight me like fighting a man. My wife would say, don't you come home with no marks on your face. Teenagers. And so it was a place where character was forged, because in order to grow, you need a situation. You just don't need the word. You need the word in a situation to expand character. Somebody say amen. Amen. This particular day, the boy was crazy. It was going into the evening program. And for some reason, this demon thought he can take me out. Came over yelling at me in my face, you gonna let me go home, cussing. Excuse me, just get out of my face, man. I'm not in no mood. Yeah, he going on it. Right? I was tired, had been a long day. And so he slapped me. Now when he slapped me, I was able to move back and he caught my glasses. I'm like, you still need to calm down. I'm trying to de-escalate him, but he's escalating. I'm trying to he's going up. So the staff, you know, stood between them. And when they grabbed him, he cleared his throat and spit in my face. He got me good. Now, somebody say Jesus. See, now, you in it, Mo. Everybody just stopped. It was like I was watching a movie, and you know how you go get the popcorn and you push pause. That's how it was. I looked, and God Himself said to me, "Go wash your face." I went and washed my face with tears mixed with His spit. Because I said, God, I love you, but this is a whole new level. I don't want to go into, we had to go to court, and the judge really, because they look at spit as a weapon, dealt with some things. But the situation helped expand my character. Now, I could have went straight crazy on him. He like, and you would have saw me on the news. That's him. He was preaching at City View. What's with the handcuffs? Johnny, come here quick. See, that's how the next man who I'm going to end with is the carnal man. All right, but the grace of God kept me. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Because I could be in jail for second-degree manslaughter. Oh, yeah, you have murder in you. I know you're not saying much. Right situation, right place, right time. Oh, yeah. Bow. Just like that. I'm going to get my hunting gun. Bessie, I'm going to kill him dead. Right? No, don't do it. Don't do it, Billy. Don't. I'm going to kill him dead. Sure is my name is Billy. It's in you. It's in me. Right? You're standing over the body and you don't know what happened. He like, they got a show, reality show on TV called Snap. Just that quick. But somebody say the grace of God. Because you thought about it. Don't look at the person beside you. Just keep going like this. You keep doing that. You thought about it. And some of us thought about how we can do it and get away with it. No, I can't bury him in my backyard. Scooby might dig him up. Thought about it. The mind. Until our mind changes, our behavior is not going to change. The last man is the carnal man. This man lives in the flesh. He's saved. He or she confessed Jesus as Lord, but they have not come to the place where there's active growth. They're like the little girl. You have a beautiful daughter. How old is she? She's 4. They're 24 and still bouncing. Still sucking their thumb. When somebody brings them information that is not biblical, they're like, where's my phone? Where is my phone? I got to call Susie. They're on the phone gossiping. On the phone backbiting. Stuck in unforgiveness, jealousy, envy. And then come to the house of the Lord and say, what a mighty God we serve. Like God is crazy. They're stuck. It's called in one area arrested development. It's where a tragedy of information stops, or from a biological or physiological aspect, a person stops growing. I've seen it. I've seen a little boy at 9 years old with a pamper on. Something physiological happened to his development. The same principle applies to the spiritual man. If I refuse to forgive you, I'm still a babe. Y'all quiet. If I refuse, I'm leaving the church. Now, isn't that crazy? Because when you leave, the reason why you left is still in you. Amen? Can't, you know, no respect for leadership. None. And then wonder why your kids are crazy. Wonder why your kids don't listen to you when you don't respect the leadership in the house of the Lord. Carnal, fleshly, undeveloped. You can't tell who it is until they get in the thick of the thick. You can also tell, however, some of the characteristics, because what they do is gender strife. You can tell 3 minutes into the conversation. My wife, she says, I'm nobody's trash can. Good saying. If you're going to bring something to me about somebody else, I'm going to get the person. Can I smile on that? I shut it down from the gate. if you bring something to me about someone else, I'm going to bring resolution. Is that all right? I'm going to nip it in the bud, because we can't, in the book of Corinthians, we can't even get to a spiritual gifts until the gift in us is working. Until the Holy Spirit in us is working. The carnal man, his mind is arrested. He only prays a little bit. The tiny bit. And this is something I struggle with. Could I share one of my struggles? I'm almost done. Give me about 5 minutes and then we're going to, I'm going to give you some steps out of this. I can talk about me. One of the things I struggle with is watching TV, and I'm watching it. It can be, I was talking to the young man here. We was talking about football. Beautiful spirit. Nice young. I'm saying young. I'm assuming I'm older than you. You know? And something comes on television like football. And I'm going through the channels. And I come across a child that's starving or hungry. And keep flipping. Gotta watch that, Moses. No stopping. No, let me intercede. Because the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Sometimes God leads us to see something and to pray for it immediately. I'm like, sometimes, I think I'll go get some cookies because it's intermission. And the Holy Spirit can fix me. What are you doing? Are you apathetic now? You don't feel the infirmity of someone starving? What are you doing? I say, help me, Lord. Help my heart, Jesus. I want to be able to feel the pulse of my society. I want to feel and see what you see, Jesus. Not just come looking at my watch, looking how I can go home and get that dinner. But how do I release, how do I deal with this other man? Am I helping someone? Amen. I hope I'm helping someone. Stand to your feet. I'm not going to go any further. If you are carnal, I'm not going to even make an altar call for the natural man, but if you struggle with not allowing the Holy Spirit to have full reign of your life, come up to this altar right now. Don't think about it. Be honest with it. Now, if you're walking in the Spirit and you don't have no issues, then you can stay there. Because I'm going to pray a prayer. I'm going to pray a prayer, and I ask the altar workers to come. This is serious, serious business. You have to go higher. You cannot remain where you are. And one activation of where you are is you and Jesus. You know where you are. This ain't no game. This isn't time, who's looking at me, and all that craziness. My wife, I'm going to say that she does a lot of things, but this particular day I went to the food pantry with her, and she goes constantly and ministers there out on Walnut and Chestnut. And they feed a lot of people. You know what I mean? And I went there last week, and I was blown away with people just waiting to eat. Just waiting. I ask you one more time, I want to pray. I want to pray. Please come. If you're struggling with your flesh and your mind is not spiritual, and your flesh is dominating areas in your life that it should not be dominating, you need to come to this altar. I'm beseech you, I'm begging you, because I'm going to pray a prayer of deliverance. And then with these individuals after service, that's right, don't hesitate. You look, this is between you and Jesus. When I get in the thick of the thick, I got to know that God is moving and God is going to step up to the plate. I can't like look for it. I got to know it. Somebody say, I have to know it. I have to know it. Lay hands on these people, altar. Mary, come help. I'm going to pray.